reaching around to the needs of our children. And as I was, I've been thinking about this, and it didn't necessarily help to think longer totally, because it's like, how do you do something? How do you, where do you go? What scriptures do we look at, and how do we address these things? Also, there are just so many different things that play into this. My wife said, it's okay, it doesn't have to go long. And I said, well, that's not my problem. And she said, well, maybe I prayed too much. And I said, no, maybe you didn't pray enough. So anyway, reaching around to our children's needs. As we think about this, and I don't know how you feel about it and where you are in life, I'm guessing with all the big vans that we see out in the parking lot, that this is actually something that we face, right? I don't think that technology is helping us today in our feeling of inadequacy. Do you know what I mean by that statement? I think sometimes the more we see, and the more we see that we should be doing, and the more we see that other people at least look like they're doing and act like they're doing, the more inadequate we feel. So maybe one of the first things we should do is we should back off a little bit on our consumption and distance ourselves a little bit and not subject yourself, quit beating yourself up, okay? Quit beating yourself up with other people and other people's ideas. Because there is so much out there that if you would do everything exactly like you're supposed to be doing, I'm not sure that your children would make it. Your children are not an experiment, okay? And there's something that I came across in thinking about this and preparing for this that I thought was kind of refreshing in a way and good. I'll just read a little bit of what it says here. These days, parents are inundated with information about what children need and how to be a good parent. There are what feels like an infinite amount of positive parenting trends and methods to choose from. Attachment parenting, mindful parenting, respectful parenting, the list goes on. Parents are then constantly being told what to do and what not to do. Reward often versus rewards spoil kids. Use timeout versus timeout is bad. Sleep train early versus sleep training is evil. Sound familiar? This overload of information about how to meet the basic needs of a child can be so confusing and can sometimes even feel contradictory. Parents are sifting through advice, evaluating the options, feeling confused about how to respond to their kids, and then doubting themselves and their decisions. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by all the information out there about what children need, I have good news for you. The basic needs of a child can be simplified down to just two things. That's what this person's idea was. Another idea. But I think it was somewhat of a good one. And as I recall, they basically said, love and consistency, consistent lines. Those two things. It makes sense to me, especially the love part, because if I keep coming back, I get hung up on this thing of the two great commandments. Are what? What are they? And? Love God and love others. And Jesus said, on these two things hangs all the law and the prophets. Everything else comes out of these two. If you would perfectly observe these two things, you would nail it every time. Everything else falls under that. How to is the question. And I was thinking about this yesterday as Brother Adam was talking and was preaching, how that, and the question came to my mind, and I think it's right, that as we love others, we love God. Not in the same way. What I mean is while we love others, when you love others, you are loving their Creator. And when you love God, you will love others. And I have come to the conclusion that one of the greatest ways that you can love God and love others is by bringing them to the Lord. That is the greatest act of love. That is a single act of love that fulfills those two commands. What greater act of love to God than bringing another person into relationship with Him? What greater act of love to that person than bringing them into relationship with God? So bringing someone to the Lord is the ultimate fulfillment of those two commandments in one, I think. Now, thinking about reaching around to our children's needs. The other day, as I was at a job and we were installing cabinets, my wife brought lunch, and so the children were along and everything. And later, afterward, the contractor said something to me, and I think he was talking about, you know, how a nice family. And he said he asked some of the children, which one is the middle child? He said, I was a middle child of nine. I think he said nine. He said, I was a middle child. And the middle child is what? Overlooked. That was his opinion. Anyway, we'll look at that maybe a little bit more later. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 15, and I don't like to skip over scripture, but most of us know the scriptures that we're going to look at, or you are familiar with them, and this is the scripture where Jesus, Matthew 19, where Jesus is relating to the children, and the people bring the children to Christ, and y'all know the story. So, when we look at this, then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now, so what did Jesus do there? Laid his hands on the children and prayed, right? But what happened that we don't see? You know, a lot of times we would like to have lists of things we can do to meet our children's needs, right? But it is not necessarily what you do, it is what happens because of what you do in the child's heart, right? Do you know what I mean by that? Yes, it is what you do, but it is what it does. So in this case, Jesus laid his hands on them and prayed. Now, what did that do for those children? Well, maybe prayer was answered. We don't know what Jesus prayed. But to me, I see Jesus valuing those children, right? Valuing those children and meeting needs that maybe aren't even obvious. And that it doesn't necessarily specifically say or talk about in Scripture. What if the needs that our children have can be met on a daily basis by simple things that you do? What if we are overthinking and overcomplicating the needs of our children? What if it would just simply come down to parenting God's way, and that will take care of it? You know, I don't think God created this to be really, really hard and difficult. After all, He gives children to what? Inexperienced parents. Right? He doesn't give them to grandparents. He gives them to inexperienced parents. And what I find fascinating is that sometimes some of the oldest children turn out the best, if you will. Because it's the younger ones that are supposedly spoiled. Now, there are reasons for that. There are multiple reasons for that. We could come up with a list of reasons for that. But the fascinating part of that means then that inexperienced parents do the best job. You do a better job when you're inexperienced than when you have experience. Because your oldest children are the ones that are most responsible oftentimes. What if some of the things that as you get older and you get tired and you're worn out and you go, well, was that really worth it? What if some of those things were actually the things that were the reasons your older children are more responsible than your younger children? And you go, oh, they're turning out okay. Maybe that wasn't even necessary. There's also the thing of older children complicating the training of a younger child, which is huge. And sometimes, maybe what we need to think about is the fact that, so when we're looking at this, we're actually thinking that we're training the young children, right? We're trying to train the young children and the older ones are interfering. Do you know what that means? That means that we should be focusing more on training the older children how to deal with younger children. Do you know what I mean? Maybe we're missing that part. And maybe if we would get that part better, then it wouldn't mess as much with the younger ones. But anyway, I don't think we'll get it perfect. Perfection is not necessary. Okay? You don't need to get it perfect. You are not God. If your perfection would be required, you wouldn't need God. I'm sorry, you would fail, okay? But what I'm saying is, if the way your children turn out is solely your responsibility, then God is not in the equation. Okay? God is still in the equation, okay? So just relax. All right? Yes, we still have a responsibility. As we think about reaching around to our children's needs, I was also reminded of the scripture in Matthew 7 where it says, if your son asks for bread, do you give him a stone? Right? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Okay, ask. Feel free to ask. But also, as we think about God being a pattern for us in parenting, God has children, okay? And we are some of those children. How does God meet your needs? Now, once again, you're not God, right? But does God always perfectly meet the needs that you think you have in the way that you would like them to be met? No. Does that mean God isn't doing a good job? No. I think we need to be careful that we don't become too perfect in our parenting and meeting our children's needs. That is a terrible thing to say, I'm sorry. Okay, that is not popular. What I'm saying is our children need to be prepared for life, for real life, and then not get frustrated with God. Okay? We always need to understand that this life is not perfect. Our parents are not perfect. God is perfect, but that doesn't make our life as his children perfect. Right? Because of the fallenness around us. Now, reaching around to our children's needs, that makes it sound difficult, right? Reaching around. You know, a number of years ago, I came to a realization about heaven that was deeply disappointing to me. And my wife. My wife kind of shared that, I think. We were talking about it, and we were in a period of life when, you know, okay, so we know what it's like to get up multiple times a night. My wife especially does. And I used to, too, with our, you know, with at least one of our children, it was awful. Like, a couple times a night, 45 minutes at a time, walking the floor, trying to get, he had digestive issues, and he would scream and scream and scream, and then you'd feed him, right, because you think maybe he's hungry, and it would do what? Make it worse, right? And, you know, you'd be like this, and you'd almost got to get a hold of yourself, because after a while, you get into this whatever state, and you start getting upset. Anybody ever been there? Thank you. So you know what I was disappointed about heaven? You know why? Because to me, sleeping was like, that was the ultimate release from whatever. And it's like, we're not even gonna get to sleep in heaven. That was disappointing to me. I guess what I really should have thought about is that we're not going to need it. But I almost couldn't even imagine that. You know what I mean? I'm guessing some of y'all have been there. Probably all of you have been there. And it's just like, poof! Like, we're not going to get to sleep in heaven. For real. But anyway, that's okay. So, reaching around. So what are your children's needs? What are your children's needs? What are they? Do you even know what they are? Well, maybe you should research it. Well, if you research it too much, you're going to get overwhelmed, right? You're going to get overwhelmed. You don't need a PhD in child training, all right? What you need is you need this. You need humility. You need to recognize that you are not the sum total of your children's needs. You do not have all the answers to your children's needs. You need to be okay with that. Okay? We need others. And there are times when other people can help meet your children's needs in ways that you can't. Right? Especially probably older children sometimes. It makes us feel inadequate. It can make us feel vulnerable. But I think it's true. And I think we need to learn to be okay with it. So, what's the difference between a need and a want? Do your children know the difference between needs and wants? Do you know the difference between your children's wants, their desires, and their needs? So let's say you're shopping and one of your children sees something in the store that they really want, right? And they think they what? Need it. They have a little bit of a, so they start throwing a fit, right? Because they need that and mom or dad is not fulfilling that need. Now what they really need, you can't give them right there. And so there's a conflict of ideas about what they really need. But they don't know what they really need all the time, right? How to bridge that gap can be very difficult sometimes. So do you know the difference between what you need and what you want? I'm going to say that the further off we as parents are, the bigger the gap between what we want and what we really need and how we relate to that is going to either help us or the bigger the gap, the more difficult it's going to be for you to help your children understand. And they aren't always going to understand. Sorry, that was maybe not the right word. Okay? With age comes understanding. And you can't always explain it to them, okay, that they will understand it. Unfortunately. This is my personal opinion. But I think that we can do damage to our young children by explaining to them why they need to do what they need to do to young children. All right? As soon as you start explaining to them why, all of a sudden it becomes a thing of logic rather than a thing of obedience. And if they don't understand it, then you might be wrong in their minds because your logic has holes in it, right? And so they've got to decide, are they going to listen to what you say or are they going to go by what really makes sense to them? You're giving them a bargaining chip, if you will, by explaining. Your children need to learn to obey because, right? Not based on understanding. Understanding-based obedience can be dangerous. And we as followers of Jesus Christ need to make sure that we don't follow him just based on our understanding. There are times when we don't understand everything that's in here, but it's clear what it says. And sometimes I think we get things wrong because we look at Scripture and we say, well, it can't mean that because that doesn't make sense. There's got to be some other explanation for it. And so we search through Scripture and find some vague place where it says this or that or the other thing to explain away what Scripture plainly says because it surely can't mean what it says where it's talking plainly. You know what I'm talking about? And so we need to be careful that we don't set up our children to think that obedience is based on understanding. That was just kind of a side trip, sorry. But it has to do with wants and needs as well. When we try to start explaining things, sometimes we can get off track easily. And that can even happen with teenagers. Right? Yeah. because they don't get it. They're limited in their understanding. They're limited in their experience. So I think we need a very, I'm not saying that we never teach our children, that we never try to explain things to our children, because they do actually legitimately want to know sometimes, okay? And with age comes, some of that comes with age. But I think that they need to learn to obey, not just because it makes sense. And this kind of comes into the whole wants and needs thing too. Now, several weeks ago, the youngest in our family, and some of you probably know who I'm talking about, the youngest in our family, my wife was out hanging up laundry, and the youngest in our family was over by the swing set, and he hollered out to his mom, and he said, "Get me sweet tea, Mom, Dad said." And this little guy was barely two. And it's like, where in the world does that come from? Woo. So, obviously, he had some wants there. Did he need sweet tea? No, but he probably thought he did, right? Anyway, I thought that was kind of humorous. So, what are the basic needs? Somebody tell me, what are basic needs of a child? Security is one of them, yeah. But what are called the basic needs of mankind? Food, clothing, and shelter, right? Those three things are often seen as the basic needs of man. Now, food, clothing, and shelter. Now, those are physical needs, right? And it seems to me that y'all are doing at least okay with that part of it, right? Seems to. Now, what else? We heard security. So I have it split down into three things here, kind of three different areas. Our children have physical needs, and they have emotional needs, and they have spiritual needs, right? Kind of the three different parts. Physical needs, food, clothing, and shelter. And another thing that I thought of as it relates to physical needs is they need, and this actually goes into emotional needs, they need your presence. Okay? They need your presence. And furthermore, they need you to be present when you are with them. Right? Have you ever seen a child, you're somewhere and the child is going, "Mama, Mom," and Mama is right there, right there, and they go, "Mom," and they go about four or five times, "Mom," and finally Mom goes, "What do you want?" Now, okay, so we need to teach our children not to interrupt, right? Sometimes, especially when you're in conversation with someone else. But how many times has that happened to you, right? We've been there. And I think we need to be really, really careful with that, okay? Because you are there, but you are not present, all right? I have concern with that as it relates to this, right here, and whatever else it may be, reading a book. Now, most of you as moms are like, "What is that?" Right? Reading a book, like for real. Like, I used to do that when I was young. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even some of you dads probably are kind of like that. Like, I used to read a lot. Books and stuff, I don't much anymore. Some of that has to do with this. Some of it also has to do with just the thing that, you know, we never get done, right? Never. But for you mothers, it's even more so, I would say. And I recognize that. So your presence. What does Deuteronomy 6 say? We talked about it the other morning. When do you teach your children? Okay, right. Specifically, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You're supposed to be teaching your children. What does that insinuate? that you are with them at those times. Huh, right? So I think presence is huge, and we need to be aware of that. Now, what about the emotional needs that our children have? Well, the first thing we already kind of touched on with what I'd read earlier, and then I said what that person said the two basic needs are. But love. In Titus chapter 2, what is one of the things that it says that the older women are to teach the younger women? To what? Love their husbands and to love their children. Okay, you love them, right? But do you like them? Do you really love them? What does it look like to love your children? They know I love them. After all, I do all these things for them. Right? Well, yeah, you also do for the chickens and the dog. Right? And so, do we love our children? Do we really love our children? I think we do. I think we really do. Sometimes life becomes so daily and so everyday, right? And it becomes hard to express that because we get so tired. So love. Our children need love. Psalm 103, verse 13. We already heard that this morning. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them who fear him. Isn't that what it says? Something like that. And so that insinuates what? Love, right? God loves us as a father loves his children. Which, in a way, we can turn that upside down then and say, as the father loves us, we should love our children. I think that's okay to say. That's an example for us. As God loves us, we are to love our children. There are other verses in Scripture probably that talk about love and how we as fathers should love our children. So love is an emotional need. Security, which was mentioned. Security. Now, security can be built or destroyed in different ways, right? In our children's lives. You can do damage. You can do an incredible amount of damage in a short amount of time in that area, unfortunately. But don't get overwrought with that, okay? One thing that I remember about my father, and somebody else mentioned it, was it here that somebody said something about their dad was quick to apologize? I almost think somebody said that. Maybe in the workshop or something, that we talked about fathering or something. That means a lot when dad says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have talked like that. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. That's powerful. That is really powerful. And while we can do a lot of damage, children are forgiving. They are. We don't want to take advantage of that, but they are. I think one of the ways that that our children are secure or insecure is in seeing how their parents relate to each other, and you all already know that probably. But the way that their parents relate to each other, when the parents are arguing, it makes for insecure children. When the parents show love to each other and are kind to each other, that brings security to a child. It's powerful. Being consistent in discipline also brings security. Interesting how that what they don't like actually, in a way, has great benefits. Consistency in drawing lines. It lets them know where the lines are. If a child doesn't know where the lines are, and sometimes he gets smacked or gets whatever, you know, some days he can do this and some days he can't, and he's never quite sure when he's going to be okay. That can cause insecurity in your children. Our children need to have a need for security. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? Right? It's okay. Chastening, discipline today is kind of, if you just are gentle in the right way, or just love them just right, then they won't act up, right? All children really want to be good, right? No, I'm sorry. There's a fallen nature there. I'm not saying that love can't make a difference. It all needs to be in the context of a loving relationship. It must be. Okay? But we also need to be consistent in expectations and discipline. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Right? What are those two things that he says our children need? He says, don't do this, but do this. Rather do this. What is it? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Good. ESV says, in the discipline and instruction. Wow. They use discipline instead of nurture. That doesn't sound the same, does it? Quite. But I think there are aspects of those two words that go very much together. Nurture and discipline. Teaching them discipline. Not just disciplining them, but teaching them discipline in their lives. That's something they need. And you need them to have discipline in their lives, right? Absolutely you do. Y'all are old enough to know that sometimes the hardest thing to do at the moment and the thing that takes the most time in the moment now is going to save you lots of time later. And we tend to forget that sometimes. How about 1 Timothy 6, 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. What are the two things that it says? What are the things it says we need in that verse? Food and raiment. Do your children have that? All right, you're good. Class dismissed. Wait a minute. What does that verse say that we need? Yeah, it says we need food and raiment. And those are the two things that we look at sometimes. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, if we have food and raiment, that's good. We have what we need. No. We need contentment. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That is something your children need. They need contentment. They don't just need the food and the raiment. They need contentment. Are you content? Are you really content? Are you really deep down in satisfied? Do you think it would change the way you act? Does contentment change the way you think? Does contentment change the way you act? Do you think it would make a difference in your parenting if you would be... Do you think contentment makes a difference in the way a person parents? Yeah, absolutely. I think it does. And I think we need that. Today, there is more discontent with more things than I would say almost ever before. And it is simply because we keep seeing all these things that everybody else does and everybody else has, and we gotta just stop it already. I've told my wife already, sometimes people, you know, you see a beautiful rainbow, or you have that, or this, or that, or this fun thing happens, and everybody's like, bam, 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 bam. Look what I just saw. Okay, forget it. You know what makes stuff special? If it's shared with only a few people. Okay? The more you put it out there and plaster it all over your whatever you have, and hopefully y'all don't have much. But whatever you wear, if you put it out there, now it's no longer special, because the most special things are the things that you share with the least amount of people. If you think about that, that's actually true. The more intimate something is, the fewer people are involved. And I think it's time that we just go like that and go, wow, that's a beautiful rainbow. Look at what God gave me. Look at the gift God gave me. And just enjoy it right there. Sometimes we actually miss it because we're there going bam, 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 bam. And then by the time we have time to sit down and look at it, it's gone. What about contentment? Enjoy it with your children. Don't teach your children that the first thing you do when you see something beautiful is to grab your phone so that you can impress everybody else. And so that everybody else goes, ooh, I wish I'd have seen that. Ooh, I wish I'd be over there. No. I don't know. Somebody's idea. Sorry. I've wondered about those sorts of things already, and I'm not saying that you can't share anything, okay? I'm not saying that. Because there is blessing in sharing beautiful things at times. But I'm saying let's slow down and let's just like enjoy things ourselves too sometimes rather than let me ask you a question. What is the greatest enjoyment in a beautiful rainbow? Sharing it with other people, right? Taking pictures of it and then putting it out there and seeing how people react to it. If that is greater enjoyment than actually seeing the rainbow and basking in it and looking at God, then you have got some work to do. Okay? And I think we all do. So are you content? Content in your heart will help you build and learn and foster contentment in your children's lives. Because maybe your children can't wait till they're your age so that they can be discontent, because they aren't allowed to be discontent now. I don't know. Spiritual. What are the spiritual needs? Well, I believe, obviously, for our children to be in relationship with Christ and with God. That is their biggest need. But as children, looking at and saying, what can we do to help fill the spiritual needs in our children? Going back to the other day, what did we say were the things that we need to teach? We want our children to know that they are created by God, that they are chosen by God, and that they are cherished by God. If you can get that into your children, some way. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that for yourself? Do you believe that you were created by God? You have a purpose. Now today, people are so wrapped up in their purpose that they aren't almost, you know what I mean? We can get so like, what is my purpose? I got to figure out my purpose. Just relax. What if some of that isn't as complicated as we make it to be? Again, because there's so much on there that, oh, you need to find your purpose and you need to find your... Wait a minute. I don't think God created it to be so difficult. There are basic things in Scripture that tell us what your purpose actually are. And as you do those things, as you learn to live into those things and be okay with that, God can lead you in other ways. And in other directions. You don't have to figure everything out yourself. That's God's responsibility, not yours. I mean, yes, we want to be open to God and we want to be whatever. But are you sure that God has created you, that he has chosen you, and that you are cherished by God? If you have a hard time with that, you're going to have a hard time putting that in your filling that need in your children's lives. Okay? And I think a lot of this stuff can happen organically. By that, I mean kind of happen by themselves as we are in the right place. And as we have a hold of these things, it will come out of us as we walk by the way, as we lie down, and as we rise up. Not just a list of things. We've got to go to another workshop so that we can have another list of things that we're going to work on. No. How about in here? Do you work on your children or do you work on yourself? I'm not saying we can't work on our children. I'm not saying we can't be objective and say, do you know what? We need to work a little harder on this. They're not obeying promptly. Go ahead. God bless you. Right? But in that, maybe sometimes we need to look at our own lives a little bit and say, wait a minute. Do I have the disciplines that I need in that area? Are you secure in God's love and provision? Now, what are some of the hindrances in reaching around? What are some of the hindrances in reaching around? We're flat out too busy. But then when we try to fix it and try to do something about it, then it's like, well, but we really should do this. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if some of the busyness that we experience is because our idea and standard of living is just flat out way too high. Because we don't have our wants and our needs in proper perspective. And that makes us busy. The other thing that makes us busy today is because you can, you should. We are able to do so many things today. We are able to pursue so many different things at once that means that we should do it, right? Wrong. What about just saying, you know what, we could do that, we could go here, we could go there, but we're not gonna. We just need a little bit of space. And everybody's like, where is so-and-so right now? I don't know, they're just kind of weird right now the last while, and they just aren't showing up for stuff. God bless you. Great. I don't know. I'm not saying that we should, I mean, we obviously need to go to church, and we need to support church functions, but I don't know. I think there's a limit, and I don't know, I don't think we're doing the greatest with that right now. Busyness. What about, sorry, we're getting into something sticky here. What about needy children? Can you promote and develop needy children? How many of you have taught school? Ah, good. Number of you have. How many of you realize that there is something like extra needy children? And it seems like it's kind of a family deal. There are certain families that tend to have needier children than other families. Is it possible that the reason you aren't reaching around is because you are actually fostering neediness in your children and developing neediness in your children? We could go into that. We won't spend a lot of time there, but think about it. And what are some of the things that create neediness in your children? Does anybody have a quick answer to that?
Inconsistency?
What else? Insecurity?
Doing everything for
them. Being the super parent can actually bite you. Not letting them taste failure. We always need to insulate and isolate our children so that they don't have any discomfort. Right? Really? Don't let them fail in areas that they shouldn't, that we don't want them to fail in, okay? Get that, right? But I think we need to be careful that we don't insulate them too much. Put them in a bubble. Because somebody else is going to have to maintain that bubble sometime, somewhere, maybe even at school. And you flat out, the teacher can't do that. And you can't either if you have more than one child. Probably. Now, let's be careful that we don't promote needy children. Focusing on them too much, right? Well, how are you feeling about this? Well, 5-year-old? What do you want right now? You can make a child self-centered very easily and quickly by the way you parent that child, and that will bite you. You will not be able to reach around to 10 self-centered children. No way. I'm not saying that we neglect their needs, but I'm saying don't get them hyper-focused on their needs. And don't you be hyper-focused on your own needs. You know, I just need to get away. Y'all just figure it out for yourself for a while. I'm going, I don't know. Coffee shops are great. Maybe. I don't think God created. I don't think there was a coffee shop in the Garden of Eden. I'm not saying that you as ladies don't have needs, because I think we as men need to be aware that our wives do have needs and we need to be sensitive to them. Okay? Got that? I'm not saying that it's not so. But I'm saying that, I'm sorry, over here it is. I'm saying this actually helps feed that whole thing. There are some people that just, you know, anyway, never mind. Sorry, that's not part of this. Well, it sort of is. How about smothering? You know the difference between mothering and smothering? Anyway, if you aren't sure, we don't really have time to go into smothering right now, but it's just a term, okay? But you kind of get the idea, right? Your children need a little bit of space sometimes, okay? Of course, we don't want to just leave them to their own resources. too long and too often. But it's okay for them to get bored sometimes. Okay? That fosters this. If you always hand them everything and you always help them with everything, they can't figure out problems themselves. Now, some of this stuff is age appropriate, okay? You don't want to let your toddler just kind of figure it out, okay? All right. But another thing, with older children, I think we need to be careful to not let them Google everything. Dad, can I have your phone? There is something called cognitive death, and we talked about it the other day. It's called, cognitive death has to do with death of the ability to actually reason, think things through. If you cut way back on the time that your brain is in the state of, I don't know, you know what I mean, right? If you have to have instant knowledge, instant gratification, and you're always checking, just the other day something was going to come to our house, and how many times in the afternoon did somebody check to see when it was going to be delivered? Did the status change? How many times do you do that? Just let it go. You remember back in the day, some of you might not have had cameras. You sent your film away, and it came in maybe 2 weeks, and you would check the mailbox. After about 10 days, you would check the mailbox every day to see if the pictures came, right? And it was like fun. But you didn't know when that was going to be delivered, and you didn't have to watch the delivery truck go to your neighbors and forget it. That's bondage. But do you know what that does for our children if we let them do that too much? I think we need to be careful with that, all right? It has something to do with contentment. And it has something to do with just, anyway, a lot of different stuff. Anyway, I think that can make needy children. How do we keep from missing our children's needs? How do we do that? We're present with them. We're sensitive to them. But again, don't be over whatever, okay? Careful with that. But we do need to be sensitive to our children. Our children are different and they have different needs. And then if you spend more time with this one than with that one, you know where I'm going with that, right? We need the wisdom of God in how to deal with that. And sometimes, how many of you know what the common cuckoo is? The bird? The common cuckoo? Yeah, comes from Africa, it spends time in Europe, and that kind of thing. If you want something that will, some of you will make you absolutely mad, if you have access to YouTube, look to see what a baby cuckoo does, how a cuckoo lives. Okay, this is what they do. All right, so the cuckoo, the adult cuckoo, goes to a smaller bird's nest and lays an egg in their nest and goes, shoom, it's gone. All right, so the smaller bird keeps incubating those eggs. And after 2 weeks or so, after a little while, that egg hatches and often will hatch before the others. And that little bird starts to grow and is hungry all the time. And the parents feed that little cuckoo. They don't realize, that it's not their own. And there are videos on YouTube of what that little bird will do. It doesn't have feathers yet. I'm not even sure that its eyes are open yet. And it goes like this, and there are maybe two or three other eggs in the nest. That little cuckoo will hunker down and will get under an egg and will start pushing that egg. And they might not be strong enough to do it at first, but they will take every single one of those other eggs and will push it out of the nest, down to the ground. This is true. This is no fiction. It will push all those other eggs out. And those mama birds will keep feeding that bird until that baby bird is bigger than the parents, oftentimes. And that thing almost can't even fit in the nest. They get big. And those little birds will keep feeding that baby. Even after it leaves the nest sometimes, they say, we'll keep feeding that thing. Now, what's the point of that story? It's disgusting, right? But if we aren't careful, our children can do that to us. Sometimes the noisiest one gets the most attention, and it's the quiet ones that fall through the cracks. And we need to be really careful with that. And God give you wisdom, because I sure need it right now. I'm sorry, I didn't. This gets recorded, right? I'm just saying, sometimes we need that, okay? We need to be careful with that, because it can be the quiet ones that need attention, and we skip it. We miss it. Because it's the noisy ones that get the attention. Just like that cuckoo. God bless you with that. You are not God, okay? Never were, never will be. You're never going to do it, get it just right, and you're never going to reach around. Okay? Encouraging, right? What is important, though, is this, that you are present and that you do life with them together. Okay? You're still mom and dad. Love, and love is important. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you are the best parent in the world, it doesn't say that, but you could read that in there, right? Would that be okay to read that in there? You can be the best parent in the world, and if you don't have love, it's just a bunch of noise. Right? Yeah, I think so. So what we need to do is we need to point them to God. We are not God, but we point them to God. And we do that not just with our words, but with our lives. And I'd like to leave you, as it relates to love, I was struck with this thought, that duty does, but love is. Duty does, love is. And in my mind, what that means is, it's not just a list of things. You can do the list and still get it wrong. But love, the things that you do that come out of you in love, are way more powerful than the checkbox list. Okay? And we can all do that. God bless you.